has happened to America. We start the week in a very dark place. Amid protesters in Los Angeles, standing outside the emergency room where two police officers that were innocently shot, innocently gunned down, innocently ambushed by some maniac, these protesters stand outside and chant death to police. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. You're listening to Trish Intel. Do make sure you download and you subscribe to this podcast. Death to police. That's the slogan that they're shouting there in Los Angeles, where two police officers were being treated for gun wounds after being ambushed and shot on Saturday. One of the officers, the female, is age 31. She's the mother of a six-year-old little boy. The male officer is 24 years old. Both of them had just completed the police academy 14 years earlier. Today, authorities are announcing a $100,000 reward for any information that leads to the arrest of this animal. I mean, who would do such a thing? And then to compound it, who would stand outside the emergency room where the two officers are being treated, where their families are inside with them, and shout these obscenities and shout this hate? This is not the America we know. This is not the America we love. And yet this is the America we are in right now. President Trump responding over the weekend. He had just finished campaigning in Nevada and he tweeted out animals that must be hit hard. He also said if they die, meaning if the officers die, fast trial death penalty for the killer. Only way to stop this. That was on Saturday night as he was leaving Nevada. The next day, midday on Sunday, Joe Biden finally responded to this. He also said that the perpetrators must be found and that justice must be served, etc. But it took him a little while. Let's just say he was not exactly quick on the draw. Meanwhile, Ilhan Omar goes on the next day, just hours after this had happened, onto MSNBC and starts making the case for defund the police, dismantle the police in Minneapolis. Hardly the appropriate time, wouldn't you say? And yet she chose the day after to be hitting that argument again. Look, there are things that can be done and should be done as far as training, et cetera. We can do that, right? But to be talking about dismantling the police, I mean, do these people have no understanding, no appreciation for what that would actually mean? That would actually mean total lawlessness. I mean, look, I've spent time in favelas in Brazil. Go down to one of those favelas in Rio de Janeiro and tell me if that's how you want to live. Nobody wants to live like that because that's where you have gangs and paramilitaries running the operation. All right? That is not the United States of America. Compton, Los Angeles should not be a favela in Rio de Janeiro. Not in the world's greatest economy. People deserve more. And I'll tell you, these leftist policies that have left so many of these young people in these communities so disenfranchised, they're not doing anybody any favors. It is time for change. It is time for better policy. It is time America wakes up. All right, we got a lot coming up on the podcast today. In fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci effectively saying, trust the data, not the president. What's going on with that one? And the onset of socialism, full-on socialism in New York City as the mayor pleads with everyone to redistribute wealth. And it looks like Cuomo might actually go along with that. We've got today's markets for you. I'm tracking this deal between Oracle and TikTok. I'm going to tell you, I don't like it. I just don't like it. And we'll see whether or not this actually finally goes through. And we have got to talk. We have got to talk about this report out of the GAO saying that the IRS spent $1.6 billion sending checks to dead people. They sent $1.6 billion to people that are already deceased. And the NFL, of course, taking the fun out of everything again. I'm all over it. Happy Monday, everyone. We've got a lot to discuss. Back with more next. Dr. Anthony Fauci sort of dissing the president on CNN. Who should the American people listen to, you or the president, asked Wolf Blitzer, the CNN stalwart there on the Situation Room. Now, Blitzer was referring, of course, to the president's recent rally where he told supporters that we're, quote, rounding the corner in terms of the virus. The president trying to sound optimistic about things. And so he asked Dr. Fauci, you know, who should they believe? And Fauci says, I don't want to answer me or the president. I say, look at the data. The data speaks for themselves. You don't have to listen to an individual. He says, if the data tells us that we're still getting up to 40,000 new infections a day and 1,000 deaths. That's what you look at. So basically, he's telling us, do not look at whatever the president's saying. Look, I have one thing to say on this. You know, I'm not doubting the intentions, shall we say, of Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is a scientist. He has one view, right, of the world. What I do question is why we are not looking at more views of the world. Why not take a more all comprehensive approach to all of this? You need the economist view. You need the scientist view. You need the mental health expert's view. In other words, there's a lot more that goes into this than simply one scientist's opinion. And so, you know, of course, he's talking about, well, we've got to be really, really careful, effectively saying, don't trust what the president's saying. Nobody wants to talk about, you know, anything getting better. That's what's amazing to me. There's no optimism there. Nobody wants to actually predict good things ahead. This reminds me of the Obama years. Remember back when he would just sound so depressing about the jobs report every time it came out and keep saying, well, we got to do better. And effectively, his whole administration was communicating that we all had to get used to 2% growth. This was Joe Biden, too. He told us we had to get used to high unemployment, that those jobs were not coming back. Singing a different tune right now out there on the campaign trail, trying to say he doesn't buy that argument. It was his argument, for goodness sakes. They're such pessimists. And you know what? We need a little optimism right now. We need to look forward to something. It's part of the American psyche. Okay, so when the president says things are getting better, you don't immediately need to shut it down. When you look at a lot of the data, it is getting better. And you know what? We are getting smarter. And we are going to be able to handle this. We really will. We need to take care of those that need to be taken care of, which means, hey, Governor Cuomo, don't send any more people with COVID-19 into those nursing homes, please. Thank you very much. And you know what? The rest of us kind of need to just get on with our lives. JP Morgan telling traders to come back to work there in New York City onto the trading floors, because JP Morgan gets it. If you don't have childcare issues, if you do not have a pre-existing condition, then it's time to kind of get back with the program, right? We're heading into fall. School's back in session. Well, for some kids. And people need to get on with their lives. There's this sense out there among some of the Dems that we just need to shut down until after the election. In fact, that's exactly what some school districts are doing, right? Out in Los Angeles, shutting down until after the election. Convenient timing. What's so magical about that election, I wonder? In Los Angeles, they're saying the same thing. The superintendent was caught on tape saying, we're not going to open until after the election. I mean, they think that they can put everything at a standstill until they get their new president. Their new president. And they are, by the way, greasing the wheels as much as they can, just in case they don't get their new president, to make sure that we do have a constitutional crisis. In fact, Fareed Zakaria on CNN presenting it as fact this weekend that the president will win on election night. But weeks later, when it's all counted up and all those mail-in votes are looked at, guess what he says? Joe Biden will have won. And he says it in such an ominous way. And this is fact. And this is what's going to happen. I'm sorry. These people are undermining our very system. You know, who needs Putin? Who needs China? When you've got CNN and you've got MSNBC and you've got Hillary Clinton and you've got Joe Biden telling Trevor Noah that the president is going to steal the election. They are undermining the very faith in our system. We got to talk about this GAO report, $1.6 billion being sent to dead people. How do you like that? By our IRS. That is your tax money, folks. That is your IRS at work. We're going to get to that in a second. But quick market check for you. You're listening to Trish Intel. I am Trish Regan. Do make sure you go to the website, trishintel.com, and do make sure you subscribe to this podcast. This is where you will hear truth. This is where we fight for freedom, for the freedom of speech, for the freedom to protect ourselves, and for the freedom to prosper. Okay, we've got U.S. indices rising right now, at least in the futures market. It looks like this is going to continue into today's session after a couple of weeks of downside. Oracle, big news out of Oracle today. It looks like it's going to be the one that does this merger, if you would, with TikTok. But is it really a merger? Because I can tell you, what it looks like at present, and we don't have all the information yet because people are not speaking on record, but it does look as though this is more like a partnership with Oracle as opposed to a real takeover of the company. In other words, TikTok would still have, ByteDance would still have the company. It's just that the U.S. data would be housed in Oracle servers. I don't like the idea of that because, you know, I don't like the idea that that China's still going to have involvement with this. We'll see whether or not this gets through the regulatory hurdles. But Microsoft would have been a full-on takeover. Oracle, it's more like a partnership. Anyway, the investors like the idea of Oracle getting this thing, so shares are trading up. Meanwhile, take a look at Immunomedics today, because the shares are doubling after Gilead Sciences agreed to buy the cancer drug maker for $21 billion. So a little bit going on in the M&A space today. Meanwhile, as for where this market's heading, you know, it's had a couple of down weeks. But don't forget, although sometimes I want to, the Federal Reserve. Okay, I'm not a fan of the policy. I don't think you can just keep printing money indefinitely, but this is what they've been doing for the last 25 years or so. And so the reality is, as an investor, you have to think about that. Don't fight the Fed, right? As they say, Goldman Sachs, Deutsche Bank, all saying today that perhaps that recent pullback in the U.S. is coming to an end. And one of the reasons they cite, the Fed, right? I'm going to quote from the report. With such a powerful monetary impulse coursing through the U.S. and European economy, I like that term of coursing through, the odds are that the market will be surprised again positively in the fourth quarter. This is one of the strategists actually at Nordea Investment Funds, and he's saying the conclusion is that we remain in a buy on dip market. So, you know, we'll see how this all shakes out. I do think the reality is we're going to have continued volatility, everyone, as we approach the election, because they are making it clear. I just referenced that Fareed Zakaria monologue there on CNN, where he presented it as fact that we are going to have a constitutional crisis. I mean, that is what they are conditioning voters to think about. And there's something truly, truly wrong with them trying to undermine our system so blatantly. Meanwhile, let me get to the GAO report, because the IRS gave out $1.6 billion to dead people. You know, this was all part of their PPP program. They had this review. The GAO had a review of a distribution of funds for the Paycheck Protection Program. And it turned out that a lot of this money was going to people that aren't even alive. I mean, how messed up is that? I actually have a friend whose deceased mother, she passed away a few years ago. She got two checks. Two checks. You know, he turned them back in. But how many people didn't? How much money that really could go to people that need it is just getting, you know, absorbed into the system in fraudulent ways? That is a question for you. I encourage you to check out the story. I have it on trishintel.com. We're going to be back with much more, including a look at the NFL, because, wow, they sure take the fun out of everything, don't they? That's next. Did you get a chance to watch football over the weekend? Maybe on Friday night? Did you get a chance to see the team hanging out in the locker room, not coming out for the national anthem? For the national anthem? You know, somehow the only national anthem that's mattering is what's effectively called the Black National Anthem, which I really don't like that. It doesn't sit well with me, because we are one country and we have one national anthem. And I don't know why we're going to change that suddenly. You know, the fans certainly didn't like it. They were booing in the stands on Friday night. And I get it. I get it, because who the heck wants to go to a football game and get smacked in the face with all this politics? I mean, this is an opportunity, right, for people to get away from it for just a little bit. And yet they're confronting it head on. I'll tell you, it's not going to fly, because you just look at the ratings for Friday night and wow, they were way off what they had been just a year ago, because fans don't want to see it. They really, really don't. You know, there's a time and place for everything. And you think about those NFL players and, you know, honestly, in some ways they should be incredibly grateful, because that is part of the meritocracy that is America. If you're a heck of an athlete, there's a path for you. And that's a great thing. And, you know, we need to do much more in many more communities throughout America, not just for potential athletes, but for potential scientists, for potential journalists, for potential Wall Street traders, and for potential teachers and construction workers and electricians. We need to be finding the talent, and we need to be nurturing that talent and ensuring that they have the right education so that they can move forward. In terms of athletics, clearly that's been an opportunity that's really been something that all of those players that were on the field over the weekend were able to excel at. So in so many ways, that embraces sort of what is good about America, that you still have a shot. And we need to do everything we can to make sure more people in more sectors and in more diverse regions of the country have a shot. The answer is not to have different national anthems. I mean, I don't care if you're orange and you're green or you're purple or black or white or male or female or whatever you are. You know what? We are one country. Do not let the left try and tear us apart like this. This is, it's so inherently wrong. And in so many ways, I think the Conservative Party has gotten slapped with this label that, you know, they don't entirely deserve. I mean, granted, there are pockets of racism still in this country, and we can't deny that. But when you think about how to get rid of it, the answer is not to have affirmative action and say, I need one man, one woman, one Hispanic, one Asian, one black, one white. No, the answer is to make sure all of those groups have the right set of circumstances in which they're growing up, right? So that they have opportunity. And then you just figure out who's the best, and whoever is the best deserves the opportunity. But you know what? You got to go back to the beginning, and we are not doing what we need to as a nation for all of these groups. And I blame the left for that, because these communities, they are controlled by the left, and they have been for years. And these are the communities that are shutting down the schools. Because again, I keep hitting this, and I'm going to hit it again. If you have the money, you're going to find a way for your kid to be in school, whether that's a Zoom tutor, whether it's a pod in a neighborhood where you have one teacher teaching a small group of kids, whether it's a private school. You're going to be creative about it. You're going to be innovative about it, because you know that education is so much a part of future success. But the kids in the poorest communities, they are the ones that are at the disadvantage, because they are the ones that are being controlled and manipulated by the left. These are the teachers' unions, right, that are saying, we're not going back to school. So who loses out in that? The kids. And America, we lose out as a nation because of these policies. And then you get right back to the NFL, where everybody's making this about black and white and Black Lives Matter. You know what it should be about? Is equal opportunity for every single American, so that you level the socioeconomic playing field. That's what needs to happen. And please, for goodness sakes, give us a break on a Friday night as far as the politics goes. Anyway, we got to get to the socialism creeping into New York City. We do not want this happening in the USA. People are lined up trying to get out of the city, waiting for a U-Haul. And guess what? Cuomo's thinking about taxing everybody more. One of the highest tax cities in the world, guess what? Wants to charge residents even more. Can you imagine? All for the great privilege of living in what has increasingly become a garbage-ridden, high-crime destination, a place where people now line up for U-Hauls just so that they can escape? This exodus, right, from the crime and from the filth, none of it seems to deter the city's socialist mayor, Bill de Blasio, from his ultimate goal of turning New York City into some kind of socialist utopia. Welcome back, everyone. I am Trish Regan. You're listening to Trish Intel. Do go to the website, trishintel.com, where you will get truth. And we work to protect our freedoms as Americans. Also, download this. Subscribe to the podcast and tell your friends. Trish is back. Anyway, let's get to New York City, because the mayor recently pleaded with listeners, while appearing on a WNYC program called The Brian Lehrer Show, saying, and I quote, "Help me tax the wealthy. Help me redistribute wealth. Help me build affordable housing in white communities. If you want desegregation, what changes things is redistribution of wealth. Tax the wealthy at a much higher level." Apparently he may get his wish. Of course, I don't know who's going to be left for him to tax, right? New York is actually considering this higher tax to stem its budget shortfall. Governor Cuomo, who is trying to deal with this $8 billion gap, which is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Because so many people are fleeing the region. Well, he now says that taxing the rich might be the only option. In a recent press conference, he pointed out that we have a deficit. We don't just have an economic deficit, he said, and I'm quoting, we have a combination of factors that are hurting New York City. And let's be clear, New York City pays the bulk of the tax revenue for all of New York State. You know, the highest earners in New York City already pay almost half of the city's tax revenue and more than half of the state's income taxes. And what's happening right now? People that make money are leaving. They're going to Florida. They're going to Texas. They're going to Nevada. They're going to New Hampshire. Interestingly enough, all of these places have zero income tax. So they're moving out because guess what? They don't have to live in New York City anymore. Their businesses have gotten creative and said, okay, you can work from home. And so people are learning how to work from home. All of a sudden, your quality of life really matters. And if you're going to pay all that money in city income taxes or state income taxes, you better get some bang for your buck. And in New York City right now, you get nothing. You just get a lot of garbage. You get high crime. The murder rate has more than doubled. And so why be there? Right? That's what they're figuring out. I mean, all the great things about New York, those aren't even happening right now because you can't go to a play. You can't go to the opera. You can't do all those cultural things that have mattered to New Yorkers. And so consequently, there's really no reason to be there. Schools aren't open. There's no bang for your buck in terms of your tax revenue. So here's what we need to think about as a country right now. We need to look at New York City as a microcosm for what could actually happen on a mass scale. If you get Joe Biden in office and Kamala Harris in office, Ilhan Omar doing her little MSNBC spin over the weekend, you know, just hours after protesters were shouting death to the police outside an LA hospital, she actually was talking about how the economic policies of Joe Biden are sort of in more the direction of what she and other liberals want. Let me tell you, if we get what she and some of these other extremists want, we will all look like New York City. It will be high crime. It will be garbage in the streets. It will be people trying to flee, not just New York City, but possibly the United States of America. I point you once again to Venezuela, okay? Because that is, I think, the best example, the best case study of what is happening in real time. And over the last 20 years, you saw that country go from the highest per capita income in all of Latin America to the lowest, to the point where people are starving now. They've lost on average 24 pounds because they don't have access to food. Okay, that is how bad it is there. Let's not have that be the United States. I know some people might think that's sort of dramatic to say, but you look at what's happening in New York right now. You look at the extreme wing of the party, whether it be Bernie Sanders, a card-carrying member of the Socialist Party, whether it be Ilhan Omar or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or the rest of the squad. This is where we're heading if we are not careful. We are in a very delicate place right now, and we need to make the right decisions for our economic future. I'm so glad you're listening. Please make sure that you subscribe to the podcast and you tell everyone you know, because we have a very short window here and we need to be doing everything we can to get the right message out. I'll see you on trishintel.com. You can comment there 24/7. I'm always available and we are giving you the news that you need. We got a big FOMC meeting coming up this week and we have an excellent column from our resident, I call him genius, on trishintel.com because he's a mathematician, he's a physicist, he's an economist, he's a former central banker, a constitutional law scholar. I'm sure I'm missing another one of the credentials, former hedge fund trader. Anyway, Neil Grossman has an excellent piece that you need to read on the Federal Reserve, and that'll be coming out as we get into the FOMC stuff this week. I will see you right back here on the podcast tomorrow. Thanks for listening.